Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your horrible, nasty video game ideas from all over the internet and turn them into the next AAA titles. I am one of your hosts, AJ Hart.
And I am your other host, Blake Rea. All right, AJ, I've been waiting long enough. What's the story? What thing did you save for me over the course of this last week that you wanted to share with me exclusively?
Blake, I have great news. We're not the only thing that's back.
What? What's the other thing that's back?
The other thing that's back is what I've just spent the last 2 hours experiencing once again, and man, oh man, does it feel like a trip down memory lane. Do you remember the hit show from Spike TV, MXC?
Of course I remember MXC. Holy shit, MXC is back?
MXC is back, baby.
What?
Well, MXC isn't back. MXC itself is not back.
Hold on. Is it... Sorry. Please continue. I have so many questions. Actually, I want to ask.
So, for those that don't know, MXC was a show that aired on Spike TV, the manliest and coolest cable TV channel.
Yes.
And MXC was a thing where, like, they would have these Americans dub over a Japanese game show that was sort of like Wipeout, but if it was extreme. Yeah. There would be obstacle courses. There was one incredible obstacle course where there would be like 80 contestants and there'd be a series of doors in front of them. And they'd be like, all right, the first 20 people that can get through the door that's open gets to win. But there'd be three doors and two of them would be false doors and or two of them would be full real walls and one of them would be a paper door.
Everybody...
And so they were incentivized to run full speed into these doors to try to figure out which one was made of paper so they could go to the next one to find which of the next checkpoint doors was real and not.
It's the Fall Guys thing. Like Fall Guys is very
comical. It was exactly the Fall Guys thing.
Mm-hmm.
An incredible little mini game. This mini game, the show that was being dubbed over, was called Takashi's Castle.
Takashi's Castle. Dude, that show fucking rules, man.
Takashi's Castle's back. I was just watching it on... I think that was Amazon Prime.
Wait, hold on a second. Isn't Takashi's Castle is MXC, but I think they rebranded it as MXC for American audiences.
Correct. They dubbed over it because they were taking it and just dubbing over it with whatever they want. But the original game show, Takashi's Castle, it's back with the original cast of the original Japanese game show.
Holy shit. Oh, my God. Oh, wait, hold. I have so many questions. So, one, they're not doing bad problematic redubs of the Japanese people.
No. Okay, now it's just them being incredibly funny all on their own without being weird and problematic.
Excellent.
So, well, unless one of the hosts starts being really weird, but they haven't been very weird yet.
I mean, but that's... I mean,
like, they're funny weird, but not, like, weird, capital W weird.
Yeah. They're zany. They're kooky. Dude, that's fucking amazing. So, okay, so it's just brought on for a new season? It's brought on, like, they remastered the old episodes?
They rebooted it. No, they brought in the original people, and they said, it's been 35 years since Takashi's Castle has been filmed. We're bringing it back. They brought back the original commentators. They have a new guy that's in charge of, like, doing all of the yelling and shouting for the contestants, but they're just doing new obstacle courses and new challenges.
Where is it streaming? I have to know.
I'm like 90% sure I was streaming it on Amazon Prime, but honestly, with today's streaming health service...
Wait, weren't you just watching it?
I'm sure you could acquire it despicably. Yeah, but I don't know what I'm using anymore.
That's... Brother, it's... You have to go to the... You don't just turn the TV on and it's on. You have to go to the app and find it. That's how streaming works.
I'm going to assume that it was on Amazon Prime because I almost turned on Kamen Rider instead.
Did your partner turn it on and you just walked in and started watching it?
No, I turned it on because I wanted something. Actually, I don't remember if it was me or Jax that turned it on. One of us turned it on.
You know what would be super fun? I know people make this joke all the time of like, I'm going to learn Japanese so I can better watch anime or whatever. I know you're actively studying Japanese because you want to go to Japan with your partner and meet their family. What if you learn Japanese to understand the castle game show?
Dude, they talk so goddamn fast. I have to learn a lot more foundational Japanese before I can even get there.
Hey,
it's a cute idea to say out loud, but there ain't no way in hell that's happening.
Hey, if Kira from the small fishing town is hopping those rocks and taking hits to the face, the least you can do is understand basic Japanese to follow along.
That is the least I could do.
The
You're
least
right.
You could do. The most honorable thing. The nicest thing you can do.
What about you, Brother Bear? What have you been up to?
I'm just flabbergasted hearing this news from you. That actually brings me up, because last night I had the fucking worst, one of the worst experiences of my life. So I should preface this. I'm an editor. I'm a video editor, audience.
You're an
I know,
editor. You I, mess with files for a living, to my understanding.
Yeah, you know, you'd think I'd have a pretty good understanding of how, like, you know, backing things up and hard drives and being...
Computers love to die. It's like their second favorite thing to do. A list of computers' favorite things to do. Run and operate programs.
Mm-hmm.
Run and operate programs mysteriously, incorrectly, and a little bit bad. And then die.
And then mine whatever that fake money, online money is. No, so what happened last night is AJ and I were, full disclosure, were about to record the podcast, record this very episode. And
this one that you're listening to.
He messages me. He's like, hey, Blake, you ready? You ready to record? And I'm like, I message him back. I'm like, hey, my computer's glitching. Oh, a couple, like 20 minutes go by. AJ checks in again. I'm like, the problem has evolved. It is not my computer. Anytime I plug an external hard drive into my computer screen turns absolutely white and nothing happens. Okay. Oh, I've nailed
nightmare.
Down
nightmare. Which,
I've nailed down which hard drive it is that is causing this weird issue. Uh-oh. It's the hard drive that has every asset and every previous episode and render of Love, Death, and Dice, my Warhammer mini painting show. And my stomach dropped. I'm like, oh, fuck, AJ, I can't record the podcast. I'll be thinking about this the whole time.
The whole time. Never get a wink of rest.
So just to sum it up really quickly, because shit went down in ways that I wasn't expecting. So every time I plug into my PC, it would just cause my screen to go away. It's like, okay, fuck, maybe I can find an old Mac. I know their disk utility is much better than like PC's like disk management system. So I go to my roommate, they're sleeping. I'm like, oh wait, I have like an old crappy fucking 2012 Mac in like my storage. Let me go get that. So I get this storage thing. It's covered in like old soda stains and like what appears to be weird droplets on the screen. I don't know if it was mold.
Yeah, when was the last time you broke that?
2012, ow. Like a long fucking time ago.
2012, we were still
maybe
in
20,
college.
Maybe 2014.
No, wait, 2012, we wouldn't have been in college.
Yes, 2014,
but that's
we just
still really
started.
Old.
So I plug it in and I plug in the hard drive and I'm like, oh man, it's not showing up. It's not showing up. I reach my hand to where the USB is, which is right below the power socket for the laptop, and my hand accidentally grazes like the plug that goes into my computer, and I swear to God, I fucking burnt myself. My hand.
Oh God.
Yeah, the fucking charger was so hot, it actually burnt my finger, and I'm like, and I was like, I was so alarmed. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, none of this is the way the computers are supposed to work.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh God, hopefully, please work out, please work out, please work out. Luckily, I was able to repair it. I was able to get all of my files working in order, and I went to sleep a happy man. You know.
Okay. And what did you do with the computer that is borderline on fire? Did you go bury that in the backyard where it belongs?
I just put it back in storage. I just turned it off and like sealed it away like an old tomb, like the Ark of the Covenant. Somebody else will open that and. I don't know, looking for treasures, you know, and get burned by my power socket.
I think about that sometimes. So I throughout the time of like me taking care of family, passing and like going through and cleaning all that
I
stuff.
Also worry about how people are going to find my porn and judge me once I die.
No, it's not even the porn and the judging. It's like, what do you do when you find somebody's old as hell computer, right? Like, because like presumably, Blake, one day you will die and somebody's going to open up that laptop and they will never be able to get into it because like... You'll just have a simple password there. And I, of course, know that your password is Fartman2020. But, like, nobody else knows that password. And I, of course, will already be dead and gone by the time you bite the dust.
Really?
So no one's going to be able to get into that computer. Mm. And likewise, there have been old computers from, like, my own family's house that, like, I'm sure up in the attic there's a laptop that hasn't been touched or, like, woken up from dormancy since, I don't know, 2006? Like, well, what do we do with that computer? There's no way to get into it, right?
I have, like, a Ready Player One style challenge I'm going to be doing for my... And I'm 100% dead serious about this. I have yet to figure it out. But I know when I die, I want all of my belongings to be... like a treasure map a la like adventure sort of thing. So after I die, they have to solve puzzles. And I think one of them
that will be worth this sort of mini game.
My YouTube channel. Because by then, my YouTube channel or our YouTube channels between the two of us are going to be like in the hundreds of millions, right? That's got to be worth something. We're going to be the first people. Actually, shit, has anybody done that? That would be a very fun game for somebody to do. I think actually, didn't Markiplier do that? Where they had a channel and then they gifted it to some random person.
No, Markiplier killed his channel. I've heard of somebody doing a process a la old rock bands where like it's the same name, but over time they've just swapped out every member to the point that the channel doesn't exist anymore.
Well, but
I don't believe that's happening yet. I'm sure that will happen with Good Mythical Morning. I don't know why. I just think it'd be really funny if those dudes like bequeathed that whole brand to their children.
I don't want to gift it to anybody. I want people the thing you're talking about is they earned it, like they had a relationship. I want to open it up to where anybody in the world could get this
famously
thing.
Earning it.
No, this reminds me of that one guy. He's incredible story. I don't know if I'm sure I've talked to you about it, maybe not on the show. There's this guy named Henry Forrester who was like a famous world traveler, like the closest thing to actual Indiana Jones that we've ever had. And what he is one of those people that went to like other countries and stole things.
I looked up Henry Forrester online. I want you to know that both of the things that came up on Wikipedia says fictional character.
Who am I? Wait, who the fuck is Henry Forrester?
It might be this guy. Shit. Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your
His name is Forrest something. Forrest Fleming? Just type in Forrest and treasure hunt. But basically, he filled up a treasure chest with a bunch of things that he collected.
Forrest and treasure hunt's going to pull up one guy. I can assure you that.
Yes, it will. Forrest treasure hunt guy. I'm patiently waiting for the clickies.
Fenn Treasure. Was it Cache of Gold and Jewels?
Yeah, Forrest
Fenn, an art dealer. Okay, you got me.
Yes,
Rocky Mountains of the United States. It was found approximately a decade later in 2020.
Yes, and it was only found fucking recently. But he like hid like $1 million worth of artifacts from around the world in this treasure chest and then hid it in the Colorado Rockies. Like, how fucking cool is that? I want to do that, but for like... I don't know, my YouTube channel. Something stupid. All right, AJ, what do we do here? What is this show about? We're already 15 minutes in.
This show?
Mm-hmm.
What is this show about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we generally like to do some video game design, and we take audience-submitted ideas from all over the internet and then kind of come up with a video game based on their unique IP that they gave to us.
Okay, where are some of the places that we get these submissions? Where can they submit to?
What a good question. I've been working on that lately.
Get the car
I've been kind
up
of digging deep and figuring it out. Because like there was a time, once upon a time, that we were on a website that has a different name now, and we would take submissions from there. Mm. It was like a bird-themed one, and now I guess it's a porn-themed one. but we would take submissions from that website. We also have a Reddit that we would take submissions from.
Mm.
Occasionally, people would leave a comment on our YouTube videos for a submission.
Oh,
sometimes we would
that.
Even get an email to our email, spiritualsuccessorpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, fuck, that's right. We did get an email this last week. I totally forgot about that. I need to open that. AJ, do you want to give the first submission?
I'm not done. I'm not done mindscaping, trying to figure out where these submissions come from, because more recently we've opened up a new avenue because of the inshittification of the entire internet and how it's all bad and worse because we weren't there and under our vigilant eye, we did not keep things correct. We're now accepting some submissions through our own Patreon Discord server.
Ooh.
So if you're paying us money, you get access to a cool Discord where a bunch of cool people hang out, and we got a little zone in there for people to give submissions.
Excellent.
I want to make it clear, those people are not getting preferential treatment, and dare I say, they might even be getting worse treatment.
Is it just because, I guess it's just ease of use, you know, rather than going to all the different social media platforms, you're just like, eh, I could just be on Discord, hang out with the suck boys, and then also chat about random shit. All right.
Yeah.
AJ, can I give you the first submission?
You can, yeah. You seem pretty excited about submissions this week.
This one comes to us on Reddit at spiritual_successor from chicken-routine. I want to see you guys create the grittiest, raunchiest, most violent alphabet learning game to ever exist. You and I have talked about it on the show a bunch, but you and I kind of grew up in the golden age of, like, learning games. Like, our age was, like,
Video games,
yeah,
please.
Like, Pajama Sam, some of, like, the Jurassic Park games.
The Jurassic Park games were edutainment?
There was, like, one of them that I remember. It was, like, kind of like a... Was it a spelling game? It was like something where it would show you like the dinosaur, and then the dinosaur would get like progressively it would go from like the colloquial names to then like the more complex like scientific names. Might not have been Jurassic Park, but it was like I remember it having dinosaurs and letters, so like it might as well be Jurassic Park or a spinoff of Jurassic Park. I want to take the idea of like. Something that's really popular right now is like taking kids' media and then being like, hey, they're grown up now. And like they got Trauma, TM, Samurai Jack, great example. Yeah. We had like the action adventure comedy series from the early 2000s. And then in like 2018, we got like the really fucking depressing but awesome, really awesome badass Samurai Jack show. So I'm wondering who is in need of a gritty spelling game? And I want it to be like, Disco Elysium levels of raunchy and gross and gritty.
But you still want it to be educational.
I mean, it doesn't say that it needs to be good at education. It just says alphabet learning game. It doesn't mean the learning needs to be good.
Can I present to you this alternative?
Yes, go for it.
I'm just going to hit you with like an elevator pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Mortal Kombat for toddlers?
Here's the thing. I know quite a few toddlers from my cousins and my siblings. They all have like little toddlers. A lot of them are playing Mortal Kombat. So I don't think
a lot of kids already have Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, kids
are
already playing Mortal Kombat. I mean, the moment you put, I can't believe I'm saying this. The moment you put Omni-Man in like a fighting game, kids are going to want to play it. Which is like weird because when you think about
Invincible. Why are kids watching Omni-Man?
Because kids are watching Invincible. It's on fucking Amazon and it's animation.
Kids shouldn't be watching Invincible.
I know, but like, it's. I think we still live in that age where it's like, oh, it's animation. It must be a cartoon. It must be for kiddos. Like, I still
that
think
that can't be true. There's no way that we exist in a world where fucking. There's no way we live in a world where. What is the name of the show on Netflix? It's called like Big Stink Mouth, Large Mouth, Brace Face.
Big Mouth.
Wow, that's okay. There's no way we live in a world where Big Mouth exists and we still think that animation is for kids and that we should be showing Invincible to children.
But here's the thing, it's on Amazon, AJ, where all of the animation lives, or anime.
Amazon is
and
where
cartoon.
The boys is.
Where the Yeah, but like that's live action. It's different. It's like live action's for adults, the animation's for kids. That's why you can watch Demon Slayer and be like, hey, this is for little kiddos. Either way.
For little kids, you can tell. Hey, Blake, but you are onto something with like, we grew up during the true golden age of edutainment. But here's the thing, I didn't have Pajama Sam. I talk a lot about Pajama Sam and that's because he's ingrained in my memory. I have to come clean. I only ever got to play a Pajama Sam demo. disc. Oh, I've never actually played a Pajama Sam game.
Well, here's the thing. I've also never played Pajama Sam or any
You're
of these.
You're also a poser? Okay, good. Can we come clean right now about what edutainment shit we actually had in our house? Because
yeah,
I had the
100%.
V-Smile, dude. Do you remember the V-Smile?
No, I don't remember V-Smile. What is that?
It was kind of like the Leapfrog competitor. Why don't you go ahead and pull up the V-Smile? Because I do think that the controller for this thing was fucking incredible.
V-Smile. Tell me about it while I search.
The V-Smile was an edutainment game where like it just had a bunch of like product.
Yeah.
It had a bunch of like licensed edutainment games. It had like SpongeBob, Kung Fu Panda, Winnie the Pooh. There was one for like, it wasn't like
holy shit, dude.
Bob
I remember
the Builder. It was some other guy that had like a bunch of like smaller tools.
Uh-huh.
But my cousins had one of these, and I would play that with my little cousin Christine pretty regularly. Whenever I was over at their house, they had a Dora the Explorer and a Go Diego Go game that were both really fun.
Hey,
I think there might have been a Scooby-Doo one too.
Hey, I'm going to blow your fucking mind.
The
V-Smile is still available, and you can still get it at buy games for it at Michael's Arts and Crafts of all places.
You're joking.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, V-Smile Game Superman, sold and shipped by Opensky. So it looks like somebody's just going through like but it's like, yeah, $10 add to cart. AJ, holy shit, let's make a game for the V-Smile. We're onto something here because my coworker is like really into this. There's this whole private chat room driven community that is all about just creating video games for like previous platforms. So being like, I'm going to make a video game for the Game Boy and you're going to be able to play it
on a Game Boy.
So it's like,
there's the Waluigi game or the Waluigi, like,
yes, where he has like the mind control powers
cooking
and
game
shit.
Where you have your own little like restaurant that you're cooking out of that people made for the Nintendo 64, and you can get a hard copy of it and play it. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Waluigi.
Wow. The only Waluigi N64. Game I know of is like the one where he has like mind control powers, or he's like psychic.
Is that not Waluigi's Taco Stand?
No, it is not. But that sounds amazing. What does this game look like? I need to know.
Waluigi's Taco Stand? It looks like a modded version of Mario 64. I don't know the real story behind this thing. It's a playable like cartridge that you can slap into a Nintendo 64. It uses a bunch of assets from Mario 64. It's just a little game where you play as Waluigi and you run a taco stand.
I imagine this is what you're talking about with your coworker
that's into the scene of people that are like creating games for old consoles.
I love this because, you know, it also, I love something about this, and I want to implement it in the game that you and I talk about. So we're going to need to talk about the game that we're developing, but also this would affect how we're going to market this game. The thing I love so much about this community is that it's all word of mouth. Like, I'm not seeing people make videos on it. I'm not seeing people, maybe because I'm just not in that community.
What would you even look up?
I don't know. Just like a hacked game would be like you hacked a AAA video game, but maybe an emulator. No, not an emulator. I don't know. I honestly don't know the words.
I don't have any of the words to Google. I can't.
but we should come up with a way after we make this game. We need to come up with like a way of like, okay, what is our word of mouth market plan for this? Like, how are we going to spread the word on it? This podcast aside, obviously, this will be our little private community. Here is the first.
So, are we committed to trying to make a game for the V-Smile?
Yes, let's make it for the V-Smile.
I'm actually really curious. You grew up in a house with like 15 billion kids.
Yeah.
What edutainment system did you have? Did you have the Leapfrog? What did you actually fuck around with?
So when I at my grandma's house, that's where I kind of got introduced to PC games, was at my grandma's house.
Okay.
And we had this one. For the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, but I just remember playing it a shit ton. It was, you were playing little toy commando soldiers, and you would, like, shoot letters to spell words. And that was,
okay,
like,
but it was a PC game?
It was a PC game, yes.
So you weren't running around with the little edutainment hardware like I was. You don't know about the V-Smile. You don't know about the Leapfrog.
The closest thing I got to that were like those Joy controllers that had like a single game on it or like had a bunch of old,
the
like
little
Atari plug-in
plays?
Yes, the one with the composite cables on them and like the fucking batteries and then like the one where you have to like yank on SpongeBob's nose and that's the controller for some fucking reason.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird plug and play controllers. How come when I Googled plug and play, I just get a bunch of vapes?
Because that's the modern day.
That's crazy. That's
the modern day controller is your vape rig, bro.
No, I don't want a vape pen for weed. I want a plug and play 21 game. I want a plug and play Fantastic Four.
Okay. Can I throw you a curveball then? So,
sorry, I was just saying, complaining about my Google search. I still want to make a video game for the V-Smile.
Yes. How about I throw you the curveball? All of the games that we make today, they have to be compatible with the V-Smile.
All of them?
Yeah, why not? Let's fuck it. Hey, dude, this new season.
We're committing. Just like a genre choice for the episode. Whatever we're making is on that V-Smile.
Also, that's a good challenge. Yeah, what's up?
Can I also throw out, though, that the V-Smile had one thing so incredibly right that I wish more video games did?
What?
The V-Smile controller could be swapped.
It could be swapped? How do you mean?
You could give it a lefty flip, if I remember this thing correctly. So, like, if you look at the V-Smile, there's, like, there's the analog stick and then all of the buttons that are in kind of, like, a paw print zone.
Yeah.
That joystick could swap whether it was on the left side or the right side.
I am not seeing anything about that. I mean, I see, like, in the thumbnail, like, somebody swapped it, but that could be because they just, like, swapped the image. Around.
You're right. You're totally right. They could have swapped the image and just on a complete, or they could have completely taken it apart and then swapped it to the other side. And I'm a liar. Or I'm right. Which do you think it is?
I'm not seeing any images with it on the left, my friend. I think this is a Mandela effect.
Not?
Yeah, I think
you're not seeing any photos of it on the left. Are you opening Discord right now? Are you looking at Discord right now?
I am looking at Discord right now, but I wonder if we're looking at the same unit because Discord's still having that problem. I cannot. Hold on. Let me open Discord on my phone. Let me open Discord on my phone.
Open it up on your phone.
Wow, it is on the left side.
The controller could lefty flip. This was the greatest thing any controller ever did.
Oh, I see how it did it. It actually rotated. I was thinking like it unplugs like a nunchuck to the side.
No. The stick could like swap around the bottom because it's like two body parts that are kind of sandwiched on top of each other.
Wow, this cable looks like shit. It's like a
20-year-old console.
It's covered in like some kid's chocolate that he forgot to eat. It's like, it is disgusting looking. All right, let's talk about games. Let's talk about like what's going on our V-Smile. And it's going to end up on the rack at our nearest Michaels. Do we want to do... Maybe let's move on from the alphabet game. We thank that one because it gave us the idea of following the V-Smile. But what is the next game in our... Holy shit, look at the keyboard. It has a keyboard?
Yeah, no, there's a keyboard that you could get for the V-Smile. You can hook this thing up. There was all sorts of hardware and extra attachments.
This was around during Cars time. Like, Cars the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob the Builder, Naughty. I don't know who Naughty is. Yeah, that's strange spelling on
that.
That's
Mickey Dingleberry.
That's not Mickey, that's Naughty. All the way on the left. It says Naughty.
Oh, yeah, I got no idea who that is. Yeah, probably some Disney Channel guy.
It's Big Discovery. A Scooby-Doo fucking game? And then, what is that, Nabbits? What is
These
that?
Things, this was edutainment, my friend.
Yeah.
This was some primo math fun. This was some, what are the colors? This is your little, like, spelling games. This is edutainment.
This is beyond me. Like, this is,
this
like,
was at the point when we thought edutainment could be its own industry entirely, right? Like, this is just from a different era of video games.
A much more colorful era of video games.
One that is largely forgotten.
Really? I mean, I guess I had to be reminded of all this stuff.
You had to be reminded about it. I had to be reminded about it. And honestly, when I first tried to look this thing up, I tried to look up Leapfrog, because that was what I thought of first, but that was super wrong. Leapfrog was a different competitor that was doing edutainment. And it looks like Leapfrog is much more in the handheld space than the V-Smile.
You see, you know what I look at this and it makes me think of? This is part of our marketing campaign for getting the V-Smile up and running again. I want to see people doing weirdly modded versions of existing games where they're like, I beat it with a V-Smile controller. Like people who are like, I beat Skyrim using a V-Smile, using old edutainment. Fuck, that's a genius idea, actually. We should do that for the channel. Beating Skyrim with edutainment controllers. With education controllers. Just something stupid and clickbaity title, you know? All right. So let's go and dive into this game. Give me a game submission that you can see on the V-Smile.
This comes from biblically accurate Pet Rock on Twitter at Asithius. Hey you Dunsparce.
Dunsparce?
Do you ever play Hey You Pikachu?
No.
Okay, so Hey You Pikachu was a game where you had this little interactive pet that you could hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
You could give it little toys, you could pinch its cheeks, and you could throw a ball for it. And I think that when you originally purchased the game, it had a microphone, so you could yell at Pikachu and be like, "Aye! Pikachu!" And then it would recognize your voice through the really, really crunched up microphone that it had, and it would come over and hang out with you and talk. And it was like a fun little interactive pet that came out for the Nintendo 64, and it was really dope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of that is because Pokemon, or Pikachu specifically, is a really cool, really neat little guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's not a really cute, neat little guy in the Pokemon world?
Dunsparce.
A Pokemon that I'm pretty sure you don't even have in your brain right now.
Wait, they're not the bulldog looking one, are they? Dunsparce.
Nah, dude, I wish. Dunsparce is a cool looking
The bulldog ones are cool. The one.
The Tsuchinoko looking motherfucker.
Yeah, I remember this one because during I think you and I talked about it in our Pokemon Smasher Pass YouTube video.
Yeah.
It's Gen 2. Yeah, I think we got to that part. Sorry, I remember this. Yeah, Jesus.
Okay. Oh, the memories. Yeah, Dunsparce. Here's a list of things that Dunsparce can do.
Okay.
End of list.
Wait, no, you totally missed out. Their type is normal. Their weakness is fighting. Their ability, parentheses,
their weakness
hidden.
Is the thing that they do, like, for all Pokemon. Okay. Cool.
No, fighting type, you goob. You fight. All right, here's their abilities. Serene Grace and catch this one. Run away.
Whoa, there's no way this thing can run. You ain't tricking me.
What is Serene Grace? Serene Grace boosts the 10% flinch chance due to... Oh, man. This is just like... It's not even like a direct attack. It just increases the possibility of things. Oh, man.
Increases whose chance of flinching? Its own, possibly? Because it's a weak baby?
No, the other thing. All right, where are you going with this game? You wanted to, are we doing in our plethora of games relaunching with the V-Smile? We are doing a Pokemon collab, but we're trying to bring...
I think in the way that Pokemon was able to be like, hey, we're doing Hey You Pikachu, and look at all of the buttons that you have to interact with Pikachu, and they sold like the fancy Hey You Pikachu controller. Mm-hmm. We get to be like, hey, we're doing a thing where you get to interact with Dunsparce, and then we're revealing that it's for the V-Smile and that it has less buttons for less to do. Here's a list, because like you look at the V-Smile, we got 6 buttons on it total. We got punch... We got the center paw button, and then we have a red, yellow, blue, and green button. So we only have 5 buttons on the whole thing, and then we have an analog stick.
Okay, and that's just like...
That's not a lot of buttons maybe for video games.
You know, my favorite thing to do with the joystick is like it lets you look around, but it only lets you look like 10 degrees from your left and right. So it's like... I guess you can look around, but it's so minimal. You know what I mean? Have you ever played a video game like that? I think locked camera video games are like that. All right.
Oh, wait, here's what else we could do though. What if Hey You Dunsparce had to be played. Like, we know that the little V-Smile controller can lefty flip. Mm-hmm. What if you have to play this game with it centered? The analog stick is at the bottom of the controller. And then you have to put your hands, like, on the outside of the actual controller. And your two thumbs would be for, like, your left thumb would be for the red button and yellow button. And your right thumb would be for the green button and the blue button. And then one button in the center that's, like, the top of your Dunsparce's head. Mm-hmm. And all five buttons are just pet buttons.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... you bring up an interesting idea to me. So it's like the joy, depending on what game you play, it moves the joystick to a different location on the pad. Is there
at least for this game, we would. I like the idea that maybe what we're doing here is we're creating the illusion that in Hey You Dunsparce, you are holding your own pet Dunsparce at all times.
Oh,
and so the buttons that, all
no,
map
here's
to
the,
different
here's
parts
the
of the Dunsparce that you could be petting.
No. Here's the thing. I want to make the most fucking aggravating game of all time. You have this Pokemon, this lovely little Pokemon. It cannot do anything. It is fucking useless. And it is so useless that it can't move. So you need to carry it around. Well, guess what? Uh-huh. Hey You Dunspar requires you to have all of your fingers on all of the buttons and Joy-Cons at all times to make sure you don't drop your Dunspar. But you are going about daily activities or the adventures of a Pokemon trainer, guess what? Maybe you're going to be put in situations where you have to take a finger off, or you're going to be put in incredibly more difficult challenges that require your fingers to be in different places. So we just make it... what I'm getting at here is I want you to feel bad for dropping Dunsparce, and I want a game that makes you... Fuck. What if you did Tamagotchi... but it's like you are on the verge of killing it or hurting it immensely at any time. Not because you want to hurt it, but because the game is very cruel about almost getting you to drop him. I don't know.
So are you imagining that a lot of the gameplay is the game kind of telling you what button to press and you needing to press it immediately? I'm trying to imagine what is the actual gameplay?
You have to have your finger... we'll do the opposite, is your fingers need to be on all buttons at all times unless said otherwise. So it's like all fingers on whatever. It's like, hey, get off the blue button or something bad's going to happen. Get off the red button or something bad's going to happen. And then like that just progressively gets worse. It's like, okay, take four fingers off. Take two fingers off. Take three.
Invented the opposite of Dance Dance Revolution.
I guess, kind of, yeah. It's like, hey, don't be on this spot. That's also a really good idea.
So you're proposing a game where you are, if you are looking at the V-Smile controller, you are pressing down all five buttons at once, and you just lift up your finger when you're told when to?
Yes. But guess what? There's cute things going on the screen. Things that you might not... This is going to be like kind of like a Wii U situation where it's like there's stuff going on the TV screen and then stuff going on the V-Smile. So you need to be constantly looking back and forth between the two. And that creates just this aggravating sort of like...
I'm sorry, you're looking between what two things again?
The monitor, like the actual the TV screen and your V-Smile. Excuse me.
The V-Smile is a game system. What do you mean? Like, you're looking back to the controller for reactions?
Yeah, because guess what? It's like a Simon Says. Because I'm assuming the lights turn on. Here's the thing, AJ.
I don't believe they do.
Really? Oh, man, okay, they do now. We live in the modern era. We can do this. So, here's the thing about me. Something I think back of, like, what did I crave as a kid? What did I really want as a kid during my development as I got to a person?
A friend.
No, eye-hand coordination. I want to know how my fingies work, because, God, they were very confusing when I was a wee lad. So, if we create... This is one of our games. This is like an eye-hand coordination game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's put a pin in this.
You want to put a pin in it? All right.
I want to put a pin in this. Why don't you pitch me the next thing for the V-Smile?
This one comes to us on Twitter from Cultist at @vi_4_violence. Dress for Success, a bully-style sim, but equipping different normal clothing item. Oh, jeez. Sorry. A bully-style sim, but equipping different normal clothing items grants you power... grants you power like Mario. A football helm could give you a charge, or a swimsuit a mermaid tail. Maybe the potency of your skill increases with the quality of your garments. We have, okay, let's look back on all the games that we've talked about. We had, we have the...
God, this game sounds so cool. The idea of trapping it onto the hardware of the V-Smile does make me ill. Let's talk about it.
I want to teach kids how to dress themselves. But imagine, AJ, imagine how much more, when you were a little kid, were you one of those little kids of like your mom said, hey, time to put your shoes on, and you were like, nah, bro, not into it, not into that idea.
So, I don't remember.
What if we make a dress-up game that is about showing kids how, like, convincing kids that they become superheroes when they put their shoes on, or becoming I could see this becoming very problematic, and I'm very into that. Problematic, not like bad problematic, but problematic funny. Haha.
Okay.
I want kids to think they have powers and then go into the real world thinking they have powers. Does that make sense?
No. I don't know how you expect to create a video game that breaks children's illusions of the real world.
Well, young children's brains are malleable and full of creativity. So if we give them enough information to get inspired by, maybe they're going to go out into the real world thinking they have powers now, and they're going to go about their day-to-day lives. Or we could just make a fun dress-up game for kids.
Let's make a fun dress-up game for kids, I think.
All right. What are you thinking?
I feel like it's important, if we're creating video games for the V-Smile, that we consider the limitations of the hardware. Mm-hmm. Like, if you open up the Discord messages that I've sent you, sending you screen grabs of the V-Smile, because I feel like you are vastly overestimating, perhaps, the power of the V-Smile.
Okay, so it's all side-scrollers and then, like, select-em find games.
It's all side-scrollers and select-em games.
Look at this Cars game. This is, like, really
good.
The Cars
one looks like it was pretty advanced.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a side-scroller, but you move faster, so...
It seems to have a little bit more up and down vertical movement, which is neat. I know there was also a V-Smile Kung Fu Panda
game. This looks like an open world, like an open world Cars game. This is an open world Cars game. Like, it has a fucking map in the corner. This thing is way more advanced than you were pitching it.
But here's the thing. That's the only image I could find of anything that's like that. Every other game that I found is a side-scroller beat-em-up game.
Ooh, a little balancing game. Look at that. Man, there's something like... There's just something very cool about the texture of these. Because it takes me back to like such a specific time in my life, you know?
Yeah. Hey, the Kung Fu Panda one puts up a big arrow that says go, and I'm starting to wonder if the Kung Fu Panda game was like... a River City Runner style beat-em-up?
Hell yeah. There's so much that's possible on this.
Okay, let's start. Okay, unfortunately, Bully has to go out the window a little bit, maybe, while we brainstorm this. But let's put a pin in it. Dress for success, a Bully-style sim, but equipping different normal clothes items grants you powers like Mario. Mm-hmm. So we have a side-scroller. Let's use River City Runners as, like... our template for the time being. We have a River City Runner style game where you run around left and right and a little bit vertical movement like the Cars game.
Mm-hmm.
We are running around a world and we aren't going to be able to punch most of our problems. We will have to role play it. And all of the role play is happening through puzzles with costumes and outfits.
So you need to dress up appropriately to the situation.
Correct.
Oh, interesting. And I think like each board that you're on, you unlock new articles of clothing. So it just becomes like progressively more like complex of like figuring out like, okay, like they give you a prompt sentence. It's like, ah, man, I'm really in the mood for like a party where XYZ colors are used. Or it's like, I'm really in the mood for like a red party vibe. But it gets even, like, I'm assuming, like, the suggestions get even more specific in what they're looking for.
Yeah, I'm imagining not so much color-coded requests, but, like, if somebody's like, oh, I'm throwing a party this weekend, but I really hope that there's some good food there. And you're like, okay, cool. I got to go find out where in the world a good chef outfit is, because if I can wear the chef outfit and then go to that same spot in the world map, then I get to do a cooking mini game. And the cooking mini game is where we're going to teach a little bit about, like, hey, food prep, food safety, and of course, colors, because this is a children's V-Smile game.
Interesting.
And they play the little mini game.
Let me pitch you on something.
Cool, you did it.
Is this kind of a Mega Man style thing where it's like you need to go about the game in a specific order to effectively beat it? You know, like how in Mega Man, it's like, hey, you need to make sure you beat Fire Man before you go take on Wood Man. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, oh, you need to figure out the puzzle of the world of like, oh, I need to go do this level first because it gives me this outfit that I can then use to beat the next level. Stuff like that is what I'm getting at. Or gives me a garment that, because this is also.
Yes, I think not so much Mega Man, but I'm thinking more Shenmue. Like, you need to understand this world and where the item that you need next is laid out within this huge open world. Mm-hmm. And you have to go there to that spot, play your little mini game, get your chef outfit, and then you can do the next story. Mm-hmm. But like Shenmue, where like it's a lot of like, oh man, I sure do wish I had $20. And then you have to scan the entire open world for like $20 loose cash before you can progress the story. It's like that, where you'll run into someone. Yeah. I think Just for Success has become a 2D Shenmue clone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kids, babies for Shenmue. If you will.
Baby's first Shenmue, if you will.
Okay. All right. Is there any more that we want to touch up on this game, or do you want me to give you another one?
I think I'm ready for another one.
Okay. So, the thing I like about our games is they all kind of teach, it's all about teaching kids some sort of basic skill.
Yeah.
So we had
Dunsparce is the basic skill of how to care for an animal. Just for Success is, of course, the basic idea of what jobs do, right? Because, like, you're also going to get like, oh man, I wish that somebody could help me cross the street. And you'll be like, ah, don't you worry. I'm going to find me a traffic guard outfit. And then you dress up in your little traffic guard outfit and you help an old lady across the street.
Okay. So I in that same bracket, I want to talk to I want to make I'm kind of in like a corrupt the youth mood today. So this one comes to us from JC Switch at Pawn of Ringesis. Animal Crossing, but you have to try and maintain your sanity as you sacrifice people to the eldritch horror you accidentally unearthed in your basement. I kind of want to drop the Animal Crossing thing because we have done like a cultist Animal Crossing thing. So let's lean away from that. Is there another sort of like, can we do like Stardew Valley, but it is like Eldritch Horror? So now it's a game about how to deal with people and how to deal with people when you're fucking losing your mind, when you're just dealing with otherworldly shit. Because I think that would be kind of fun to see on a kid in pixelated.
How would you gamify this as a baby's first game? Again, the V smile is not intended for older players, Blake. Mm-hmm. I'm very much open into creating a scary game for toddlers. V smile was lacking a lot of Goosebumps energy, and I feel like that could have helped out a lot of people.
I was missing a lot of Courage the Cowardly Dog energy. That's kind of my touchstone right now. It's like, did you watch Courage the Cowardly Dog? I don't know if you and I have talked about this.
I did not. I didn't have cable growing up, so
I didn't watch Courage the Cowardly Dog.
No, I think I've talked a little bit about like how my issue with talking with most millennials is that all of y'all keep on talking about shit that I didn't have. Y'all would be like, "Oh, SpongeBob meme," and I'm like, "I don't get it, dude." And you'll be like,
"That was
Billy and Mandy joke," and I'm like, "I don't know Billy and Mandy." I'll be like, "What about?" And then Ed is like, man, that was also still on cable, team. Like, do you have Power Rangers, Shaolin Showdown, Pokemon, and Digimon? That's all I had.
I like the scenario you mentioned because it was literally their thing was, hey, did you see this Cartoon Network show? Aw, dang. Did you see this Cartoon Network, this other Cartoon Network show? No? Aw, dang. Did you see this other Cartoon Network show? It's like, no, dog, clearly there's the common denominator is There's no Cartoon Network.
I missed Generator Rex entirely. Oh, how, man, I have this much knowledge of Ben 10 is a goddamn miracle.
That's right. Ben 10 was Cartoon Network. How the fuck did you, yeah, find out about Ben 10? Did you go over to a homie's house and watch Ben 10?
My friends had cable growing, okay, up. Yeah, and so I would go over there and I'd bum some Cartoon Network off the homies.
I saw it. Just go raid the cable.
You know what was
cable.
Crazy, though? Was all you dummies with cable, y'all caught Shaolin Showdown after me. God. I was watching that shit on Foxbox and Kids WB. Yeah, I was, man, shocked up with, yep, Shaolin Showdown. Yep. I also had the weird gritty Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
You remember those ones?
I do remember that.
Where they turned to dragons at some point.
I also remember Jackie Chan Adventures was WB Kids. Yep. I remember the bad dub of Yu-Gi-Oh! Was WB Kids.
You take that back right now.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
We also had the bad dub of One Piece there.
Oh, yeah, that's, man, right. The bad One Piece dub. Oh, man. Now, did any of them come back to work on the actual show of it? Or like the actual dub?
I have
dub?
No clue.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think maybe that's why I've never really gotten into One Piece. My first exposure to One Piece was the WB Kids dub. And I'm like,
man,
eh,
dude. Hey, is 2024 the year that you have your One Piece arc?
I hope not. I don't have time. I don't have enough time for it.
Just read it. It doesn't take that long.
Are you brother? OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. The moment I
see
start,
that I'm means gonna, you tear through it in like 2 weeks.
No, that means
easy.
Then I'm just gonna not do. I'm not gonna pay my rent. I'm just gonna sit, and 2 weeks will go by, and like I'll be soaking in like 2 weeks worth of tears because I know that series goes hard. And
it's good.
And then that will just default. It'll erase everything in my brain prior, and I'll have to, like, learn how to be Blake again. Like, One Piece is...
Will you watch the new anime of One Piece?
Oh, yeah, I'm totally... That's my game plan, because I know...
That's going to be your jump on point.
Well, yeah, think about it, though. It's like, when does One Piece... How often has One Piece gotten a jump on point? Like... It's going to be in the cultural zeitgeist again. It's going to get fresh animation. It's like, no, okay, if you're going to get into One Piece, now's the time. Because everybody else...
That probably is like the closest you're going to get to a good jump on point.
Yeah. Versus like, hey, there's 30 years worth of material and everybody who's into this hobby is all caught up. So you're going to be reacting to something that everybody else has already seen. This is be like, oh, did you catch One Piece last night? You know, like that's going to be... That's a wild statement, right? Because One Piece is just not that type of series anymore.
Is, if you're caught up to date. I message the homies pretty regularly. Every Sunday morning, I'm like, man, did you see that One Piece chapter?
Okay, yeah, okay, the chapter, yeah, that's fair. I gotta get it. All
right. You should just read it. I've said it before. It's a better read than an anime. All
right, let's talk about Eldritch Horror, and then we need to decide on our nug.
Oh, yeah, we should.
Okay, so I kind of want to take the route that this is very much like Cult of the Lamb, where everything is very cutesy, but leaning into, could we do some sort of like, we teach kids economics, we teach kids interpersonal relationships, we teach people, teach kids like how to...
You're proposing the V-Smile stock exchange. We take the little like stock game that came out of the turnips from Animal Crossing and turn it into its own game entirely.
But it's
like,
influenced,
yeah, that cute
by
little
the gods.
Pig from Animal Crossing had onions or whatever the fuck, but this will have like apple stock, peach stock, orange stocks.
But
like
it's,
we go
but
full
it has,
on stock
all
exchange
of the major
for the kids.
Corporations are owned by Cthulhu ass monsters.
Yes.
So like they have a stake in your stock and your soul. Ooh.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay, so what is it just basically you are watching making it's just making sense of the stock exchange for kids?
Here's what it is. It is making sense of the stock exchange for kids. But like, you know how like I don't know if you have this, but like you'll watch the TV or the news or something, and when they start talking about stocks, it's just like a bunch of banners going along
yeah,
the bottom.
It's just
and I never know what those banners mean.
No.
The V-Smile stock exchange game is going to use the exact same visual language as those, but instead of like the acronyms being like FAFSA and D DQ and RKO and TD and LOL and Raffle. It'll all just be like apple, orange, strawberry.
Yeah.
And it's the same words, it's the same words. Banner.
Can I pitch here? Let me pitch you on this. This is a game that you only actively play once a week, and that is to like figure out where you're investing your stocks. The only time stick with me here.
Okay.
This is a game that is always running in the background of every other game you are playing on the VSmile. So you're playing the other games that we made, and guess what's at the bottom of that game? It's that scrolling banner. Guess what? You need to be paying attention to the game you're playing and the banner at the bottom of the screen because you need to know how to invest your stocks at the end of the week. So you,
I love this. Yes, because what you've created is an extension for the VSmile that children, because we'll be getting to all of the children and all of the parents to dig their VSmiles out. This extension onto the VSmile is teaching children about stocks constantly, passively, and they must discover the stocks themselves.
The future is stocks. Do you know how
the
stocks
future is stocks?
Work?
The future is self-learned. I'm too busy being poor to learn about stocks.
One of my favorite things, because I went down the rabbit hole of like learning about stocks one day, because I was just like, oh, I'm just so curious, like why?
Oh man, what's it like to have a savings account?
Oh, I don't. I have no savings.
I was just fantasizing.
Like, I was fantasizing about being well-to-do enough to invest.
Fair. Opening up the stock exchange website is kind of like the millennial. I'm just gonna go tour an open house. Like,
it's just like, oh, look at all this money I theoretically could have. But I looked into it, and like there's so many fucking Hustle Bro online ads that I got after that, and so many of them are just I just love watching them because it's just they all follow the same basic formula. There's a dude in a clearly like in his like parents' house that their parents were successful, and it's them posing in front of their computer with a bunch of random gobbledygook numbers and them leaning back in their chair being like, I did good today. And it's just very funny to me, but they always end on the same thing. They all go with this try to be down to earth route. It's like, all right, I'm gonna level with you. This is gonna take hard work, but you know what? It just takes a small investment to get started on your life. It's gonna take about $10,000 to invest. And I'm like, brother, do you know how much I have? I'm like,
life would be so different if I had $10,000.
Yeah, I'm like,
just you, me, dude. If I had $10,000 in my account, I would not be watching this video.
And I think that's what our game should teach, is that no matter how much you study it, no matter how much you fucking like follow the rules and everything, it's a dumb losing game. It's fucking legalized gambling is my understanding of the stocks. It's like, you're like, hey, I think that's going to do well.
You only understand it that way because you don't have the goddamn learning lessons that came with the VSmile
right.
stock exchange.
That's something all the Hustle Bros have that I don't, is they all have a VSmile like hot and warm on their desk. And
Can I make a request?
Yeah, what's up?
As you know, all of these VSmile games are branded in some way. Can we call it the Tonka Exchange? Like the little Tonka trucks? Tonka trucks?
Tonka stocks? Tonka Exchange. I love that.
The Tonka Exchange.
Yeah,
the Tonka Exchange.
I like that. And I love this because like I'm picturing the guy who owns Tonka to be like some like just ancient Vanderbilt style oil baron. You know what I mean? Just
man,
like
I'm trying to imagine what the Tonka truck guy must look like. And yeah, no, old decrepit oil baron. Just I imagine that whoever owns Tonka is wearing a plastic mask.
Ooh.
I don't know why, but they are. government type stuff.
They look like what's his face from Mad Max, the guy that has the face mask on and he's all painted white. I forget his name. Something. Oh, God, I can't
except
remember.
It's that, like, instead of a cool metal mask, it's just like a plastic painted yellow mask.
And it's just like, but it still has the Tonka logo where his mouth should be. And
like,
see,
Ray,
there
is
you
that
go.
A game?
That is a game. I like that. And that also, like, the idea of Tonka trucks, but the root of Tonka Truck is like a Cthulhu-ass monster, and it's all about the evilness of money. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Well, I mean, I guess that's... I feel like all of our games are nugs, right? Because we kind of designed it all around, like, these are the games launching with the V-Smile.
So, is like, it just the V-Smile 2.0?
Or the V-Smile 2024 relaunch. Like a rebranding or something like that.
And we need a rebrand. Is it just the V-Smile then? Like, you're right. It needs a rebranding. It needs a fun name, right? We need to... What are we calling the relaunch of the V-Smile?
V-Smile, but like the S is replaced with a 2. Like it's...
Can I pitch you on this?
Yeah, what's up?
V-Smile together.
Ooh, there we go. Okay, because you're learning. We're learning together. Okay,
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That. Yeah, okay, V-Smile together. That's a freaking game, man. Hell yeah.
That's a game.
Thank you to all our submitters. And if you want to submit to the show, consider joining out, checking out our Discord, our email, our Twitter, our Reddit, all those places. We definitely are kind of like trying to get more submissions in, like a nice get back into where we were before our break. So check those places out. We ready for...
Blake, are you ready to go to Patch Notes?
I am ready for Patch Notes.
Let's get on over to Patch Notes then. Alrighty, folks, welcome to Patch Notes. Blake and I got one major request for y'all listeners, especially if you've made it all the way back here. The show's back. Blake and I are excited to be back. We can't stop telling people in our lives that we, the show, Spiritual Successor, are back. And as such, we've got one big, teeny tiny, well, we've got one big, massive, huge, wildly large request for you.
Oh.
Will you tell your friends... Please, please tell your friends. We're so excited to be back, but we need more listeners. Well, why do we need more listeners? I hear you ask. Wow, another group of podcasters wanting a big audience.
Are your current listeners not good enough? No, they aren't. We actually need more. We need more. We're not going to take over the world.
Here's the thing. We're not going to get real fake video games made on this tiny platform.
Just really lean into the evil corporate vibes of it, huh?
Could you imagine, like, what if we...
What if that was the way we started ending the podcast? Is just, like, just...
Like, just, like, authentically begging the audience, please tell your friends.
No, I was thinking the opposite of, like, hey, you guys aren't good enough. Send us better people, or send us better submissions. But just being, like, really leaning into the evil corporate energy of it, you know? I like that our brains went separate places, though.
No, of course, thank you all so much for listening. It is a blast. It is through your incredible ears and your incredible ideas that we're able to make this happen. So go spread the word, especially if you made it on the show. If your submission is there, tell every goddamn one of your family members.
Or if, like, you want to, or even better, dig out your old V-Smile, boot up a game of Cars the Open World, and put on our podcast in the background. Maybe get...
Yeah, just start playing your V-Smile, and when people are like, hey, is that a V-Smile? You can turn around and be like, I'm so glad you asked. Check this out.
All right, until next time, see you later, suckers.
As always, the intro and outro of our podcast is Cheap Shop by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. This has been Spiritual Successor. I have been one of your hosts, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.